John chapter 21, verse 1, the Bible says, "After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. They were together, Simon Peter, and Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. And they say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship, and immediately and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. Then he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon as they heard they were come to land, I don't know why I can't read today, they saw a fire of coals there, and the fish laid thereon, and bread. And Jesus saith to them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith to them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. And now it's the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Joseph, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, Feed my lambs. And he saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, Feed my sheep. And he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. And this spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. When he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today, and thank you for the testimonies about the youth ministry that we heard this morning, and Lord, the singing, and Lord, now I just pray that as the word goes forth, that you speak to our hearts. We know you make all the difference, and Lord, I pray you meet with us today in a powerful way. Use me to preach your word. Lord, speak to each heart here. You know every need. We'll trust you for what's going to take place. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Jesus makes all the difference is the title of the message. And you notice in verse 1 it said, after these things. You know, when you think about the apostles, most of them had been fishermen for a living before they had started following Jesus. And Jesus used fishing analogy a lot of times in scriptures. And I was thinking about that somewhat. You know, in life as you go along, there's times when things are real exciting. And then there's times when, you know, there's just the routine, mundane, you know, life. You get up in the morning, you go to work, come home, you got the routine down. And when you think about that, you know, for most of us, there's probably more of the dull routine than there is the real exciting times that happen in life. And when you think about it, it said after these things, and this was the things that it's actually talking about, were most of the things that happened in the previous 3 years of Jesus' ministry up until now. And you think about these guys were just fishermen, and nothing wrong with being fishermen. I said just, I'm not making that sound bad, but they were fishermen, and as in comparison to being apostles. Jesus said, follow me 3 years or so before. And what all they saw. Man, I mean, you know, they were with Jesus day and night. They heard him preach, and they heard him pray, and They'd seen all the miracles that he'd done. He'd fed 5,000 with, just a few fishes and a few loaves there. He had raised the dead. Now, buddy, there's something to shout about right there. I don't know about you, buddy, but when, you know, he raised Lazarus out of the grave and he come run, I don't know if I'd have been running or what, if I'd have seen Lazarus come out, but that would have been something exciting one way or another. He had cast demons out, demon possession, man, just spoke the word and cast them out and caused blind people to see and the lame to see. And then Peter and John, they had seen the transfiguration of Jesus Christ himself. I mean, when, you know, all the events that went on with that, the glorified Christ. I mean, you know, life was pretty exciting for 3 years before these events that took place right now. I mean, it was just something going on with Jesus all the time. And then, you know, of course, then since that time, Jesus had said that he appeared. We see it in the story that he appeared on the shore, but it said that it was the third time. He had appeared to them two other times. One thing they knew about the resurrected Christ. I mean, so even just knowing that today, that's exciting. That was an exciting thing for them. And I don't know about you, but, you know, we've heard it and been around. And, of course, we're not seeing Jesus in those apparitions there, but and seeing him walking in his human body now. But, you know, he's still resurrected today. That's an exciting thing. I think as Christians, sometimes we hear it and we've heard it and we're preaching and we're reading the Bible. And, you know, it just gets to be, humans have a tendency for letting things become old hat that shouldn't become old hat and get mundane. You know, listen, man, if you're saved today, listen, there shouldn't be no routine of life that's got you to the point where, you know, you're just dull and boring. Listen, when Jesus shows up, something's happening, and he's resurrected today. He's given us his Holy Spirit. He's living in us in the power of the Holy Spirit. Man, listen, our lives can be exciting every day and should be. So, but they knew about it. They knew he was alive, and they knew that death and the grave couldn't hold him. I mean, there's something to shout about right there, even today, man, that we know that death's not the end. Amen? And so, you know, when you think about this, this everyday life, the times after the things, after all that, every life had gotten back to normal. It didn't appear like much was going on. And, most of us live, as I said, in a situation like that, more routine than excitement. And Jesus still does some things today, doing some things. And I want us to look at that. And, you know, our lives are so complicated nowadays. When I talk to people all the time, there's so many, you know, you got so many irons in the fire. It's just like you don't know which way to turn. I see people at a frazzled rat race pace all the time. They don't know what to do. Let me simplify your life for you. This will help you. Simplify your life. Jesus will help you do it. Just three things. All you got to remember. Just all you got to do. Let me get your life straightened out for you. I had somebody today say, well, look, preacher, we're here early this morning. We got to leave because we got to, you know, everything. Let me simplify your life. Get it right down. Three things. You won't even have to write it down. You'll be able to remember them. Three things. Number one thing, obey him. This is it right here. This, I got so many people pulling me all directions. Just obey him. Okay? Obey him. It's not that you won't get other things done. You know, when it said these guys went fishing. Now, when I grew up, you know, and I was thinking about the mundane, the routine part of life. I grew up in Virginia Beach, and we lived kind of on the bay side. We had a boat. When I was about 12, we got a boat. And you know how it is when you get something new. And you know, for the first couple of years, man, we would go out on the bay like 3-4 days a week. We would go out fishing, flounder fishing usually. And man, I mean, I loved it, man. And I'm going to tell you what, when they're biting, man, I mean, you know, you pull up to the bridge tunnel, you'd figure out which way the drift was going to go. And so you get your boat situated, you'd pull up by the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel, you drop your line over, and buddy, when they're biting, it'd hit the bottom, boom, boom, man, and you'd have a 4 or 5 pound flounder. I mean, they're big flat fish, they swim like, I mean, it's like a whale, man. I mean, you got a pole big around your little finger, that thing's bent over, man, you're holding on, and boy, you think you're snagged. And I mean, you know, and if they're really biting, I mean, by the time you get him in, boy, boom, somebody else on the boat, and my mom would fish, my dad, I mean, they'd have one and another, and then you drop yours, and boom, man, I mean, it's like, woo, we're wheeling them in. But it ain't like that all day, you know. There's a little time where they kind of bite, and it's not like that every day. And then there's those other times. You drop your line over, and you know, you're anticipating, and the time goes by. And then the boat is rocking hours,
sun beating down on you, and you getting sleepy, and you're not catching nothing, and it's just drifting along. Our life is more like that than the time, most of the time. And it was always, see, because, you know, you keep holding out hope that you're going to find a little, you'd move the boat, you know, you'd drive to another spot, and then you do the drift. And the fact of the matter was, there was probably like a 45-minute, one-hour span where they were really biting good, and then the rest of the day, it's drifting along back and forth. And what do? You think. You know, you're just thinking about stuff. Like, man, I'd like some potato chips right now. Man, I'm thirsty. When I get home, I'm going to do, you know, that's what you do. And it says in the text that they fished all night and they didn't catch nothing. I've done that too. We used to go out speckled trout fishing at night and catch nothing all night. No action. And they probably thought about some other things, man. You know, just that rocking in the boat. And there was another night in the Bible that said they fished all night and they caught nothing. I don't know if they thought back to that time or not, but I think maybe God had done this and I'm just speculating that. And maybe they thought about that, you know, and maybe Peter was sitting there thinking about, you know, man, I had made all these promises to Jesus that I was going to never forsake him and I was going to follow him and I was willing to die for him, but I denied him three times. Just that, you know, a few little instances, I denied him. Maybe he thought about that. I don't know. I got a feeling they probably thought about some of these things. And he probably started thinking about his life. He said, you know, I was an apostle, a disciple of Christ. And I said, Lord, I'll follow you till I die, even to death. And I failed. I failed, man. I was a failure as an apostle. I failed. And now I've gone back to my old job. I'm saying, go back, let's go fishing. I have fished all night. And I didn't catch nothing. You know, and he's probably thinking, man, I can't even fish. I'm a failure. Anybody ever get feeling like this sometime in life? Sometimes in life, listen, the devil does it. The Satan knows how to do this to us sometimes. He said, you know what? You're supposed to be a Christian. You're supposed to represent Jesus Christ. And look at you, man. Look at what you're thinking about. Look at what you're doing. Look at what you're saying. And you think, man, I'm just a failure. You know? And then you go back to work and you're back on your day job and you're thinking, man, I'm going to do some things and get all this done. And guess what? Things aren't going good either. Very well there. You know, maybe you've looked at yourself and parents, we got some new babies, I see, little young babies. And sometimes as a parent, listen, I've already been through the parent thing. You know what? You look, you think, man, I've just been a failure as a parent. Maybe you're thinking, maybe as a husband, maybe I've just been a failure for the most part as a husband. Maybe a wife, maybe I've been a failure as a wife. Maybe as an employee of somebody, maybe I've just been a failure. Maybe I've just failed in obedience to the Lord for the most part. I'm going to tell you what, man, you can get depressed. You know, so listen, we all get there. We get there sometimes. You got time to think, man. You thinking, man. And we all look back and wish we'd done things different, but we can't. I think Satan uses that to knock us down, depress us, and we know that. I'm not saying they were being disobedient and going fishing. Jesus had called them to something else. They had some downtime, but Jesus was going to use this for a lesson. Peter said in verse 3, he said, well, I go fishing. And the other guy said, well, we'll go with you. Guess what? Two of the other guys weren't fishermen to start with. But they said, they're all, you know, they're in limbo here. They said, we're going to go fishing. But you can almost kind of hear when you read it, even though we don't hear it, but when you read the story, it's almost like some resignation in their voices. You know, we're not sure what to do. The Lord's, he's appeared a couple times. We know that. But right now we don't have any instructions. Kind of some resignation. I'm going to go fishing. But you know what? After being with Jesus and all that excitement for those 3 years, and now to go back to fishing, I got a feeling there was a great spiritual picture when they didn't have nothing in the net, that their life felt empty. I'm going to tell you what, man, if you ever get really close to Jesus Christ, when you get close to the Lord and you got Jesus Christ in your life, there is no going back. There is no going back. And if you go back, I'm going to tell you what, everything you do will come up empty. Everything you do will feel empty. If you've really been saved and Jesus Christ is in your heart, there's no going back. There's no going back. And if you try, it's going to be an empty, empty life. Listen, man, all we have to do is worry about in this life is just obeying Him. That you want a full life? You want an exciting life? Just obey Him. I'm not saying there won't be some downtime when you're not in limbo, but just obey Him. The second thing we see is we got to love Him. You know, Jesus showed up on the shore, and it said in the Bible that He had appeared two other times to him. One of the times He breathed on him and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." He came right through the walls of the place, and He said, that would have been exciting. And He breathed on him, received the Holy Ghost. And the other time was when Thomas was present, and He said, "Thomas, go ahead and put your fingers in the prints of the nails." He said, "Go ahead and do that, man." And Thomas said, "Lord," he said, "man, Lord, and my Lord, my God," he knew who He was. I mean, so that was an exciting time, right? It's always exciting when Jesus shows up. You know what I pray about when we get ready to sing, and I'm, not that I haven't done this already, I pray about it during the week. I don't wait till the last second. We're kind of famous for doing that. But when I'm sitting over there waiting and Paul's singing, I'm praying, "God, you show up. You know, Lord, show up. I want your presence to be felt in the service today so that we know that you're there with us." It's always exciting. And Jesus showed up, and He kind of said, "You got any meat?" Basically, what He's saying is, "Hey, did y'all catch anything?" And they didn't do a lot of talking. They said, "No." No, we didn't catch nothing. They probably weren't all that happy. You know, they don't realize who He is yet. And then Jesus said this. I kind of picked this up when I read it this time. He said, you know, "Cast your net on the right side of the ship." Now, I know He meant on the other side, but I was always thinking the right side as opposed to the wrong side. He said, "Cast your net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find." Now, I think right now, there's a light bulb going off, at least in John's head, if not everybody else's, because this is the same thing that happened before. Remember, they fished all night. He said, "Well, you know, we fished all night." He said, "Well, go on out there and throw your net over on the other side of the ship." And I think right now that's got to be them old, the wheels are clicking. We've done this before. Throw the net over on the other side of the ship and we're going and see what happens. So I think a light bulb goes off on, at least, like I say, John's head, because he's the one that said, "It's the Lord." He said, "It's the Lord." Now, man, there's several points that's involved in here in this little story right there. I could have preached everything on this right here. Number one, that the Lord could show up at any minute. Any minute. He could show up. And, you know, will you recognize Him? That's another little point right there. And He's going to show up again. So we ought to live like that. And another thing is that He's not very far away. The Lord's not very far away. I think at times, sometimes in life, we feel like that God is so far away. You're out there rocking in that boat all night. And you know, you think, what do you do? I don't know, if you fish or you hunt, what do you pray about? I mean, I'm praying, "Lord, I just want the biggest buck in the world to come down here by my tree stand when I go hunting," right? Now, that hadn't happened yet. And I'm thinking, "Lord, what's the problem?" You know, you can do it, right? So sometimes God seems like, and I know that's not a real serious illustration, sometimes it's like, God, we think like we're praying to God, and I'm sure maybe they thought, "Lord, man, you know, bless us. Boy, we like to catch some fish. You know we're going to do this." And Lord feels like, we feel like the Lord may be far away. Like I said, they'd seen Him since the resurrection, but they didn't know where He went or where He was gone while he wasn't in their presence. But you know what? He's never far away. And even though we may feel like failures, empty and useless, you know what? That there is blessings from God really close. It says in the text that it was a ship, but that's just a word that they use. Like when we think ship, we're thinking big ship. It's just little boats. Just think of this. The boats probably weren't more any wider than this platform right here. And they fished and they had the net over here. And Jesus said, "Hey, put it on the right side of the ship." So how far is that? The blessings were only this far away. Right there. That's how close. It's not like God's got to like get a lot of material together, you know, and God wants to bless us and He goes, "Well, let me get it all together. It's going to take a couple of months." The blessings from God are that close. Just closer than that, really. That close. The width of the boat. Man, I mean, they're right there. Jesus showed up. Why did Jesus show up? Because He loved them. Sure. He loves them. He shows up and He comes on the scene. Listen, man, I mean, this, if you get that through people's heads, that God loves them, Jesus loves them. And Peter jumps in the water. This is the second time he's done that. Remember, one time he wanted to walk on the water, right? And he jumps in the water. He's so excited. He said, this is the Lord over there on the shore. And the other guys are in the boat, and they got this net of fishes. And Peter, man, he just jumps in. He was kind of a person like that. He would really, you know, work fast. He jumps in the water. He can't even wait. And he swims to shore. And the other disciples, they bring the boat, and they bring the fish. And, buddy, they come up to Jesus. And, you know, this is the thing. The bottom line is with this. You know, if you love him, and you will obey him, and you will come to him, that's just the way it all works. Listen, I've been living 61 years now. And I done learned something about it. Thank you, Jesse. Appreciate that. I've learned something in 61 years. That people will do what they want to do. I've heard everything. I was talking with somebody just a little while ago about excuses that we have for not coming to church. Write this one down. I've heard them all, but this is the bottom line with it all. This is what I've learned. And I know every 1% of the time, maybe, 1% of the time, something happens out of your control, and I'm not about for doing anything, not just coming to church, but I couldn't do this, and I couldn't do that, and I was going to do it, and I didn't do it. You know what? Listen, when we really want to do something, we get her done. That's just the way human nature is. Human nature, I've learned it. When we want to do it, we'll do it. So just throw all the excuses out. There's only 1% of them are valid. All the rest of them just say what the bottom. You boil it down far enough, and the bottom is you just didn't want to do it. That's just what it boils down to. Man, listen, Peter could have said, well, I'm in a boat, and the boat's here. And Jesus, hey, listen, he jumped in the water, man. He went to Jesus, right? Humans really do what they want to do. And I believe when Peter got on the shore, you know, it said that there was a fire there. And, and there was some coals and there was some fish on there and all that. And verse 9 said, as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, a fish laid there on, and there was bread. And I want you to note this about that Jesus already had fish on the fire. Guess what? He don't need your boat. He don't need your fish. He don't need your net. Huh? He don't really, when you get down to it, he doesn't need us. He uses us. He loves us. He wants to use us. He wants to use our boat. He wants to use our net, but he don't need it. Huh? He's got the fish before they got there with the fish, and he already got the fire going on. I believe Peter, when he looked down there, he probably remembered that fire that he warmed himself by. Remember when Peter denied the Lord, the very first place he was found, he was at the enemy's fire while Jesus was being tried. But I want you to know something. At the enemy's fire, guess what? They didn't feed him. They didn't feed him. The enemy's not going to feed him. They let him stand by the fire, and then they started to accuse him. But here at this fire, guess what? Jesus said, hey, he's wet, been out all night. He said, I got a fire. Warm yourself. I got some food for you as well. And he fed him. Three times he said, do you love me? Because Peter had denied him three times. And each time he replied with a command. He said, feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. Jesus said this in John 14:15, if ye love me, keep my commandments. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Cut and dry. I mean, boy, you know, God doesn't complicate life. We do. Obey him, huh? Obey him is one of them. Love him. That's pretty simple. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you don't, don't. And if you don't, you don't. I guess we could say it that way, right? Hey, listen, that's pretty simple. Cut and dry. Peter learned this. Man, we can learn it too. So the question is, you know, do you love him? Do you love the Lord, really? Do you love the Lord? And then the fourth thing we see this is follow him. In verse 18 and 19, it talked about, in verse 18, Jesus was referring to one day that how Peter was going to die. Now, this seems odd. Why is he talking about how Peter was going to die right after he got done talking, restoring his ministry to go out and feed his sheep? You know, I'm going to preach the rest of this chapter, and it'll start with this point here as well. Don't always do that, but I'm doing it tonight. When you settle the matter of life and death, you're ready to serve God. You're ready to serve God. That's one of the things you have to get settled. You know, this is another thing. Of all the years I've lived, I've learned this right here. And Brother Ferris was here. He's our missionary to the Navajo Indians in New Mexico. And the teens, we had the teens come over here, and you guys remember this. Brother Ferris said, I graduated in 1966. And he said what?
He said, it felt like yesterday. And see, young people, they don't understand this. This is what you learn as you get older. All of you, a lot of you that are old enough to know this already. Man, time really goes by. Man, some of y'all, think back to when you got saved. Think back to when you got saved and you kept thinking, man, you know, God, maybe he's going to do something with me, or I'm going to do something for God. But think how many years have gone by. Have you got that done yet? Listen, man, days just going by. Weeks are turning into months, and months are turning into years. Man, I was thinking about that, man. I mean, 20 years, man, I was 41 years old when I started pastoring the church. 41, man, I'm 61. Where'd them 20 years go? I was going to do this and I was going to do that. Listen, I don't have half of it done. Life goes by. Listen, get settled. Listen, if the Lord doesn't come back, we're going to die. Our life will end one day. Get that settled in your mind. There is a judgment day at the end of that as well. You know, if you get that all settled out, that you're going to die, and that there is a judgment day, you're probably getting close to being ready to serve the Lord. Listen. Simplify your life. Just simplify your life. All you have to do is remember to obey him, love him, follow him. Obey him, love him, follow him. That's pretty easy, right? Obey, love, follow. That's all you need. Listen, Jesus is that's all you need. You're going to run around out here looking for all this other stuff. You know, you think, man, I got to get this, I got to get that, I got to get more money, more land, more houses, more junk, more this, that, and the other thing. And you run yourself ragged. And I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with those things. I'm just saying you run yourself ragged when what you really need is Jesus Christ in your life. That's it. Jesus Christ in your life. And then simplify your life. Obey him, love him, follow him. That's it. When Jesus shows up, things get exciting. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Heavenly Father.